The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 20th of April, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Oh boy, do we have lots to talk about this morning. First question, who's selling magnifying glass in New Providence? Second question, which is a follow-up to the first question, why the Guardian insert seems smaller than the Tribune insert? And what you mean we have more than 50 millionaires offering for politics? Because you couldn't tell before declarations. You couldn't tell before. But I guess you could tell now. But before we get into today's headlines, of course, we've got some housekeeping to do. Multiple shootings taking place this weekend. I have two headlines, police involved shooting. Police are investigating a police involved shooting that occurred on Saturday, the 18th of April in 8 Mile Rock, resulting in the death of an adult male. The story piqued my interest because of what it says in the language used. Upon arrival, officers encountered a male armed with a cutlass. A confrontation ensued during which officers engaged in de-escalation tactics. That's the first time, I think that's like the first time I ever heard that phrase. Officers engaged in de-escalation tactics. I wonder if that's language emanating directly from the police communications team or if that's the author of the article's language. Despite these efforts, the situation escalated when the armed individual made an aggressive advance toward the officers. Now, I've seen video footage emanating from that scene. It's very interesting footage. We continue with the article, Fearing for Their Lives. There it is. Fearing for their lives. We know that phrase. One officer discharged a single shot from his service weapon, striking the male in the upper body and causing fatal injuries. I want to make this point. The police communications team has improved far faster than the police's policies. Didn't we have all of this talk about the possibility or the consideration of questioning whether we're going to introduce less than lethal weapons on the force? Would this not have been, like, could we have a statement as to the status of that? Is that not something that should have been addressed by this administration before the dissolution of parliament? Is it something that should have been addressed by this PLP team vying for a second term? Was that just like poof poof talk, like cannabis poof poof, but no pass? Go straight to jail. Okay, also in the news, shooting incident. Police are investigating a shooting that occurred in the early hours of Saturday, April the 18th, 2026, at a business establishment located in the vicinity of Verbena and Rosedale Streets. Two men, aged 25 and 48, were injured and are currently hospitalized. Preliminary reports indicate that shortly after 4 a.m., an armed male suspect, described as having his face partially covered with a white cloth, approached a group of men gathered outside the establishment and opened fire, discharging multiple shots. The suspect then fled the scene in an unknown direction. As a result of the incident, one victim sustained a gunshot wound to the left leg, while the other, a serving member of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, was shot in the left hand and chest area. One of the injured men drove himself to the hospital, while the second was transported by private vehicle. The establishment also sustained damage to the front door and a side window. Later visited the hospital, but were unable to interview the victims at the time as they were receiving medical treatment. Both men were last reported to be in stable condition. Saw a video over the weekend. It appears to be people in some sort of training exercise. I saw no markings on the clothing that they were wearing that indicated that they belonged to a particular group or body that could be named. What I found troubling in the video was that those people who, like, it could have been a training exercise or it could have been a hazing exercise. They were being coerced and compelled to eat sand. To eat sand. What type of training exercise or hazing activity is this? If it is that this is an exercise conducted by one of our uniformed forces, I think we found the line, hey? We found the line. You cannot make people eat sand. Do you know why? Because there are things in sand that can be toxic to the human body, particularly the Bahamian human body, like fecal matter. Like fecal matter, like bacteria. You know the big new bright, brand new shiny bacteria unit at PMH? They ain't opened it up yet because it doesn't exist. You cannot be making people eat. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. It does not matter what type of training exercise. You could be training people to take the prime minister to the moon. You could be training people to take the prime minister to the moon. Not only is it just totally out of order, you don't have the healthcare facilities in your country to treat these people if they get sick. Text line says, I have some clothes for that line you found. Another text, morning, Aaron. I'm so sick and tired of these garbage collectors not putting the garbage bins back the way they meet them. They don't put it back. They enclose gates that house the bins. Instead, they leave it out in the road for you to put it back. Although they collect garbage, they need to take pride in their work. Okay, we're going to get to that. I'm going to get to that. We'll get to that in a second. All right, so before, I'm not taking any calls yet. Soon. A listener indicated to me that we need an audit on red plates. We need an audit on red plates. They were concerned because on the weekend, they saw someone driving a red plate in such a rush that they almost overturned on one of our roundabouts. We need an audit on red plates. Because the things we see people doing in red plates, ain't nobody in the King's Army authorized them to do that. Nobody, not a soul. Not a soul. The same thing with these corporate and commercial vehicles. This morning I was sort of stuck behind a BTC van. It had BTC stickers all over it, the new BTC sticker. So right, not like an old decommissioned van, but the people were not mandated to remove all the BTC insignia. No, this was the new BTC sticker. First of all, why would you stop your van in the middle of the road to go chat up a woman walking, minding her own business? And then why you can't stay in the lines? Like, how could you be waiting for BTC and you don't know how to stay within the lines? That takes me to the second point. I haven't looked at all of the disclosures yet. Anybody declare an interest in Bahamas Striping Group of Companies? I just want to know. I want to know if they're okay. Because how you could get so big that you forget what the purpose of the company, it's called Striping Group of Companies. What would happen? Why are y'all not striping the roads? Why do I have to drive behind people with no moral compass, no personal integrity, and they just floating their car anywhere in the road? Even if the line is not visible, you should be able to determine where the line was or where it should be. Okay, to my next point. On Friday, on my way home from the station, home yet, I'm on Dowsville Street. I pass the Eastern Esplanade and Lover's Lane and the school. I'm approaching the first curve to take you to Bay Street. And I have to slam on my brakes. Why? I mean, I had to rip up my brakes. Why? Why? Because a car was heading toward me. I had to destroy my brakes to prevent a head-on collision on Dowswell Street, the one-way portion of Dowswell Street. And it's not like the car just made a U-turn because they were making too much speed. This car must have turned left onto Dowswell Street, left onto Dowswell Street from Church and Bay. Now, let me tell you how I know it's a migrant driver. Let me tell you how I know it's a migrant driver. Because a Bahamian driver would accost me for blowing my horn to prevent an accident, like the boy in the BTC van this morning, who decided rather than maintaining his own lane, he gonna cuss me. These are people doing the work in the country. And not a word, I mean, except for Komolafi, but on a rally stage, that's not a word to me, that's a song, that's a chair, that's a chant. Not a substantive word from any of these parties on traffic enforcement, the reduction in accidents and deaths, and that is not commensurate, it's not ancillary, but what flows from that? Because if you reduce the accidents and the deaths, you're going to increase work productivity. You're going to increase economic growth. You're going to decrease the number of people using your public health system that doesn't work. And every developed nation that we piggyback off and model use traffic enforcement as a tool for social moderation. Everybody but us. Everybody but us. This portion of the show was brought to you by multiple entities, including that little small car that tried to fight the mini tanker on JFK, the little blue car that tried to run into the Bahama Waste truck. They did. It was an accident. It was a collision. The car I see this morning that tried to take out all the big palms on the highway. That's just this weekend, and that's not all the videos that I've seen. It's something terribly, terribly wrong, and I'm not sure if any of the three parties know how to fix it. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Here's a headline from this weekend, from Our News, ramming, quote, "That really reflects a government at work," close quotes. PLP communications lead Latre Ramming responding to criticism of the government's travel budget and the Bahamas Public Parks and Beaches Authority, saying they have seen a return on the investment in the increased travel and the agency's budget overruns have been an issue for years that will be addressed. That's the part about beaches and parks. You know what I find most interesting about this? Remember for the last 4 years, what have we been talking about? We've been talking about the travel budget from the office of the prime minister. That's what we've been talking about. Most people have not questioned the fact that technical staff within the ministry needs to travel. For the last 4 years, we've been talking about the travel budget from the office of the prime minister. Now, you all have to reconcile this conversation about the overall, because that's what we're finding out it is now, right? The overall government travel budget. We have to reconcile that with the OPM's travel budget. How much of the the $74 million, how much of the $74 million spent on domestic and international travel for government, how much of that is OPM travel? See, y'all keep bringing the conversation down. Y'all keep dumbing the conversation down. Anytime there's a broad shift, a broad enhancement in the collective electorates engagement and discourse. Y'all just dumb it. So you spent $74 million in 4 years? Break it down for us. Show us exactly where it was spent. And then tell us how much of that is open travel. See, these are all records you should have available to you. It's just not sufficient to say, well, you know, we've seen value for money. Have we seen value for money, really? Because on this side of the fence, we don't see no value. And we don't see any money. That's the part. And we don't see any money. So here are a couple of things that happened over the weekend. We ended the weekend with the article, COI attempts to block Bastian's nomination. And we ended the weekend with this article, Parliamentary Commissioner Bastian's nomination in compliance with law. In a statement released today, Parliamentary Commissioner Harrison Thompson said he is satisfied that Progressive Liberal Party candidate Sebastian Bastian's nomination and declaration were carried out in full compliance with the law. Thompson's statement came after Coalition of Independence leader Lincoln Bain claimed that Bastian's nomination is in violation of a constitutional requirement to disclose any interest in government contracts. Quote, I've taken note of the objection raised by the Coalition of Independence concerning the PLP candidate for the Fort Charlotte constituency, close quotes, Thompson said in the statement, quote, I wish to advise the public that the nomination and declaration of the PLP's candidate, Mr. Sebastian Bastian, were carried out in full compliance with the Parliamentary Elections Act. Quote, having reviewed the relevant process and documentation, I am satisfied that the requirements of the law were met. Quote, the Parliamentary Registration Department remains committed to carrying out its duties fairly, lawfully, and without favor, in keeping with its responsibility to protect the integrity of the electoral process, close quotes. The controversy centers around Article 48.1J of the Bahamas Constitution. No person shall be qualified to be elected as a member of the House of Assembly who, quote, is interested in any government contract and has not disclosed the nature of such contract and of his interest therein by publishing a notice in the Gazette within 1 month before the day of election, close quotes. Okay, so the PRD says that Mr. Bastian has satisfied the requirements of the nomination process. Article 48.1J of the Constitution says that the person shall be qualified, right, is interested in any government contract and has not disclosed the nature of such contract and of his interest therein by publishing a notice in the Gazette within 1 month. So, from what I have read over the weekend, within 1 month actually means the day before the election, you count back a month, 30 days, right? And so from April 11th to May 11th. So Mr. Bastian, according to PRD, has satisfied that part of the process. He has until the 11th of May to publish in the Gazette any interest in any company contracts or interest in companies that have contracts. He has time to declare that. Now, here's my real question about this scenario, right? And it takes us back to the conversation about the efficacy, whether it makes sense to have a fixed election date in our Westminster system. Now, I say our Westminster system because this ain't can't be the thing over there, over the pond. It's not that, right? But why would the period sit within the month before the election if the nomination process can take place within that month, right? Why would it sit there? Why not before? Like a month, it has to be posted within a month before, like a month within 2 months, so it has to be within that 1 month period before the last month before the election. Well, because you will never know when the election date is, and because only the prime minister could tell you that. So you could not set that time period before nomination day, because only the prime minister knows the date, and we don't know it until it's official, until it's announced. Like, that just seemed to be an unnecessary, like, it's so, there's a word I'm looking for, like, it's so complicated that it becomes a problem to itself, right? Except then 73-1A of the Constitution. You got to think about what that means, right? Because what if the person does not publish, right? Or what if they do publish, but they do not include all of the relevant information? That means a challenge has to be made, but does the person still get to run in the election, right? If a challenge is brought before the election, does the person still get to run in the election? I don't know. But here's the most important thing to remember, my audience. I am not a lawyer. I am not a lawyer. And I'm not even a journalist. So it doesn't matter that I don't know. But for those who say they're political advocates, it's a very interesting space in our electoral process. That not only should we examine, we have an obligation to examine. We have like a constitutional, it's implied, it's inherent, right? Because we're citizens and it's our constitution. It's our document. And we must ensure it reflects what we want it to reflect, right? That's all. That's all. But me, I ain't no lawyer. Okay. Then there is the statement by the ambassador to the U.S., I think most people have covered it. It was a very interesting state of affairs. Yesterday morning, we saw a statement from the U.S. ambassador to the Bahamas, Herschel Walker. Here's a quote from said statement, quote, "We are disappointed to see this project move forward so quickly when fundamental concerns about the terms of the deal remain unaddressed," close quote, stated U.S. ambassador to the Bahamas, Herschel Walker. I'm going to take this call, and then we're going to go to the statement issued by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm just going to go dive into that topic just now, right? Boy, mm-hmm. The U.S., they look like a little peeved.
Now, listen.
That's the polite way to put it.
Okay.
Over us dealing with the Chinese over the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So what you think would be the outcome for our, right? Because you know, Brave, he got testicles. You know he...
Sir, I have to. Just as a matter of course, you can't just say that out loud like that, man. Listen, this election time, let's measure our speech. Now, I'm not saying that would necessarily be an IRCA-worthy, if IRCA, right? But let's practice. In fact, let me make this announcement. As we approach the 2026 general election, I'm calling on my audience to begin moderating their speech in all aspects, right? Even when you tell them the little joke, because that helps us, right? We begin to practice a habit. And so when we speak on the airwaves, we're certain that we are expressing ourselves, but in a manner that does not bring problems on us or the people we talk into. Thank you very much. Yes, Mr. Davis is very brave. You'd have to be brave. You'd have to be brave to pull this one off. But I'm less concerned about Brave and more concerned about Mitchell. I thought the statement was an excellent statement. If anything, this is the only thing the Davis administration could rely on. Y'all could rely on this statement. This statement, you could win the whole government with this statement. And everybody in the government service, particularly the office of the prime minister and in the communications unit, when they're not being director of communications for somebody else, should read this statement. This is a lesson. It's not a teachable moment. This is a lesson in diplomacy. The government is deeply appreciative of the concern expressed for the upgrade of our healthcare facilities by United States authorities. These facilities will protect the millions of Americans who visit our shores in addition to our own citizens. We would be happy to share the record with the responsible U.S. in the appropriate forum. Before reaching a funding agreement with the government of the People's Republic of China, the government of the Bahamas engaged the United States government on several occasions over a period of 3 years. Those efforts yielded no financing response that matched the urgency, scale, and certainty required to move this project forward. Faced with pressing need to strengthen and modernize the public health care system, the government took the decision to proceed in the best interest of the Bahamian people. That's just a small excerpt from that statement. Everybody in the government, every receptionist, every secretary, except the two policewomen who was handling the 911 line a few weeks ago when it was malfunctioning and the New Providence 911 calls were being forwarded to Freeport. Man, they handled that. They handled that. So they don't need the training, but the rest of us, the rest of y'all, you know, even me, we could do with this class. This class needs to be taught. Anyway, we're going to go to the text line and we're going to open up the phone line as we head into today's headlines. Election disclosures reveal more than 50 millionaires in 2026 race. All right, text line. I think some government workers might just be removing red plates of legitimate cars and putting them on personal cars for various benefits. We would not be surprised if after an audit and investigations, we found out that that was the case. We would not be surprised. Here's a text. I have some careful talking about Bahamas striping. I mean, I have to be careful. Ain't no lines in the road to help me. Good thing you have good brakes because you're always slamming them. You ain't driving too quick. No, actually, I'm not driving too quick at all. Here's a second thing that I'm like astounded. I've not seen any of the three parties address it at all. They are not addressing the economy in a way that A, is accessible to the Bahamian people, and B, is relevant to the Bahamian people. Your economy is not growing. In fact, I want to say thank you to Mr. Pat Ramming. This week or next week, we're going to talk about the tourism-related pledges made in the various manifestos. Since 1992, our Caribbean neighbors have exceeded us in tourism numbers astronomically. You know why? Because we can't move at the pace of our own economy. Right? You know this, the adage about the frog in the water, and he don't realize it boiling because he never actually registered the change in the temperature while he was in the pot? Yeah. Bahamians are not moving at the pace of their own economy. And then we have another problem. A lack of spatial awareness where people who are retired or removed from the economy capture and hostage the Bahamian roads like they mad at God for making them old. A primary reason why our economy is not growing at the pace expected by the projections is because Bahamians are slowing the economy down by refusing to acknowledge what is required of them by the basic road rules, but also refusing to acknowledge what is required to maintain their own personal economy. So no, I'm not slamming my brakes too much. Why would you think it's appropriate to drive 12 miles an hour in the middle of a working day or at peak traffic time while hundreds and hundreds of people are engaged in commerce? I don't know. The only thing I could say is I can't blame you because who got into a family island to die with half a clinic? Who? Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. Thanks for your patience.
Yeah, Ms. Green, you know that response, right, from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
It did not answer the question. That it said that Bahamians, in the interest of Bahamians, right? It didn't answer the questions like, what is the governing law clause? It didn't answer the jurisdiction clause. It didn't answer the guarantees that we are giving.
Hold on, pause. Did the U.S. ambassador ask those questions?
Yes, he did.
No, did he? Let's read it.
No, let's read it.
I got it here. Right, we read the U.S. Embassy notes with concern Friday's groundbreaking ceremony for the New Providence Hospital project, particularly given the unresolved questions surrounding the financing arrangement and its implications for Bahamian sovereignty. That's what you're talking about right there, the unresolved questions?
Yes, not just for him.
See, because here's the thing, hold on, here's the thing.
For me.
But hold on, but pause. Here's the thing, you confounding and conflating issues. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs is responding to the U.S. Embassy. Both of them are having a conversation without us, cousin.
Yeah,
listen, hold on. Both of them are having a conversation without us. Because why the U.S. didn't tell us what the unresolved questions were?
Because if they listen to us...
Is it the inappropriate forum?
No, they're asking the same questions people like myself have.
Okay, but you're conflating two issues.
No, pause.
You're conflating two issues, right?
Right.
The Ministry of Foreign Affairs is speaking to the appropriateness of the issue being raised in this forum. Are there questions that the Bahamian people have about this project? Yes. Is it fair? Okay. Is it strategic or reasonable to see the United States, right, as a mechanism that we could use to engage our government, right, that we could use to compel or coerce our government to be more transparent or to give us information? Is that a reasonable thing? Yeah, it's reasonable to think that. But when you play that game, right, the U.S. may think that they have the people's support to engage your government in any way they see fit.
But
that's what I'm saying.
I'm saying to you, who opened this door? We opened this door for critique.
Hold on, how we open the door for critique?
Because what happens is they're not absent from us, right? They listen to us. They are involved with us in the same capacity, just the same way the Chinese rebuttal is the same thing. But let me speak about what my government did.
No, pause. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about what your government did.
No, we are.
That's what you want to talk about, and you want to use
my
this.
My government doesn't speak in absence of me.
Pause.
Government, listen to me. For a minute here.
Mm-hmm.
Where the U.S. Embassy speak to my government, you think they're speaking in absence of me?
Yes, they are. They are speaking in absence of you. In this instance, you're not a real thing. You become a mechanism on the chessboard. It's not unreasonable to use this as an opportunity, right, to engage the Bahamian government and say, but hey, I wonder what the questions are that the U.S. government has, and are they the same questions that we have?
You will never separate me from my government. You can't.
I feel you. I'm going to hit the button now. I feel you. Because that's what I believe, C. Allen, but that's not how this administration or successive administrations operate. And I can take us back to 73.1A of the Constitution, right? 73.1A of the Constitution that says on any occasion that the Governor General must appoint, prepare the next call, a call, I come and don't hang up, must appoint a Prime Minister, they must appoint the leader of the party that commands the most seats in the House of Assembly. They separate you from your government right there. Now, again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a legal professional. Good morning, caller.
Morning, how you doing?
I am good, thank you.
I only want to say bravo. Bravo on how you just handled that. Some people believe, that they want to imply their views onto others and think that everybody else is supposed to conform to their views.
Mm-hmm.
And what you just did there was something that I thought was handled very, very diplomatically, something that was a fact. And if you believe that you, as a citizen who is already imparted your powers to govern based on the government that the majority would have approved, and that the government and the United States are thinking and consulting ultimately based on your view, you're sadly mistaken. You could have that view all day. The government operates on the view for the Bahamas and the Bahamian people, not an individual. All right? That's a collective. Secondly, one of the other key things that I really want to make mention of is this. Have we forgotten that the government approached the United States government about financing, among other things, in the initial and waited? I'm just talking about that which was stated and factual. Waited and waited for a finance option to come through. I think this began from the Biden era, if I'm not mistaken. And nothing happened. What do you want them to do? Do you want them to just, fold up their hands and be a fortune teller like some people who just came off this phone and said that, we're going to wait till the possible, we don't know if the next administration is going to change, or we don't know if the United States is going to change. No, they had to move, and they moved. Now, these are the things that we need to take into consideration when we're verbalizing things. We need to think, and think very constructively. And again, I applaud the way that you handled that, and that was very diplomatic and very to the point. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you much. We have to be very careful, but more importantly, we have to be critical, right? It's not just what we think is right. We got to really try to discern and search out the right. Let's go to the next caller, and then we can do calls and texts. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good, thank you, Harry. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened to the call. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green. So?
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just great myself. I want you to please look up. I know that you all are talking about election now, but I want you to look up for this call, for this record, and play the record named Dry Conk on the Line.
Dry Conk on the Line. Okay.
Dry Conk on the Line by Carlton Ferguson. I want you to keep playing that through this election season, boss.
Yes, ma'am. As soon as I find it, I'm going to play it. Even if I have to go find Uncle Sarah and Mark Carter and Eddie Carter from the Carter Legacy Island FM to find it, we can find it. Thank you, ma'am.
Carlton Ferguson, he's from Exuma, Georgetown.
Okay, Exuma, Georgetown. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. We're going to find that. Let's go to the next caller, producer. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Hi, morning. How you doing?
Yes.
Good.
I'm okay.
Good.
In reference to the nomination and declaration and the gazetting of the candidates, right? I would like to know if on nomination day, the declaration can be considered a final declaration, or if what they have declared was such like a sworn document that they get to amend or not to amend after nomination. And if they can amend it, bring any other declaration thereafter. As of say the day before election would be basically the closeout date when they cannot declare and,
or amend the declaration.
Right. And, it can't, the morning before election, you cannot have nothing gazetted because all the printings would be out the morning before election. You see, that is the big question we have. And those companies that they may have interest in and has not declared, if someone was to bring that to surface or to in the public domain the morning before election, that generally, in my opinion or my view on how we would look at it, and this is for everybody listening to look at and consider, that person is not qualified to be elected as a member of parliament.
Now, listen, I can't answer that question for you. But that's why I think, listen, what do we have segments for? We should have year-round a segment on ZNS where the Parliamentary Registration Department, right, with a representative from the AG's office and maybe some of your leading constitutional lawyers from time to time, speak to the Bahamian people about the electoral process. And people can submit questions to them that they can answer on the show before election season starts. Before the furor and the energy of the election rear up. This is, weren't we supposed to have a public broadcast channel? That's a perfect place for it. Bahamian people are eager and anxious for information. And they want it from sources they could trust. Let's use the state's mechanisms to do that as opposed to saying people ain't interested, they ain't interested. Don't mind them. We get bad attitude. We still can watch. We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, more texts, more calls. And, oh, I want to see what that man, Mr. Smith, put down. But I got to go through these declarations, pages and pages of small print. We'll be right back. New York, you know, has got a whole lot of soul.
Good God. London town. The following is a paid political message. Kalani.
For you. See everybody in Kalani. Change is here. Hey! Hands in the air. Hey, see everybody in Kalani. Vote for Madiba. She is a fighter.
That was a paid political message.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
5 years of PLP rule. Are you better off today? While you work, they've spent millions on taxpayer-funded trips, a government-funded luxury car, and handed out hundreds of millions in no-bid contracts. But for the rest of us, gas and groceries through the roof, VAT on bread basket items, healthcare that is broken, unaffordable, and out of reach. And it's not just your wallet. For 5 years, illegal immigrants have flooded our communities, putting excessive pressure on our schools, our housing, and our social services. As they flood in, Bahamian families fall behind. Under the FNM, there will be a change. The FNM has a plan to address the rising cost of living, secure our borders, protect Bahamians from illegal immigrants, and fix our health care. Because the FNM knows our job is to work for you and not the few. This message was paid for and authorized by the Free National Movement.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, See how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Yes!
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. You want my vote? Send that boy to come sing to me. Tell me, I don't know who that is. That's good. Send him to come sing to me. I will vote. Okay, if you don't have a magnifying glass, download one app on your phone called Clear Scanner, right? And then you're going to take a picture of the page or the section of the declaration. You're going to take a picture of it, and that app will turn it into a document that will be easier to look at, and you can use your Zoom function on your phone to make the type stronger. And I hear that commercial, like, it needs some hard care. Who is it? Rick Fox, $469 million net worth in filing. But that's not the one. It's the one when they say Bastien declares $28.9 million wealth. See, that's the first part I got. I was like, what happened? Now you lose all the money. And then it said, but notes $160 million in family trusts. So it's okay. I guess okay. All right. We go to the text line. Good morning. I'm 100% in agreement with your sentiments regarding the streets not having clear lines, etc. It is dangerous, especially during the night. But more importantly, especially with a culture of drivers who refuse to acknowledge fault or guilt in the most obvious spaces and ways. I was involved in a traffic accident where There was no way that you could attribute fault to me. But when I saw the police officer coming out the building with the boy, there's another text. Aaron, thank God you finally experienced what I've been saying for years, and thank God you survived foreigners buying licenses and driving and killing people. Texter. Come on, man. Let's stop it. See, that's why it's so important for the police to report these accidents with the details in them. You can't find nothing on the website, on the police force website. Like, why would you have a whole Royal Bahamas Police Force website, but you're using social media as your main communications channel with the public? And this is the police, the PACD? It doesn't make any sense. On Prince Charles Highway, many people, not many of them, it's many Bahamians and tourists are driving on the wrong side. The problem is escalating. It's escalating because there are no signs. There are no signs anywhere. And you see, you want to just say it's migrants. We have aging Bahamians in their 70s and their 80s on the road doing all manner of foolishness. There are no lines in the road. There are no signs. They're turning down one-way corners in the wrong direction. And then there are the taxis. When you're driving with taxis, you don't know if you're breaking the law or they're breaking the law. But that's really because they just shout and bark at you and threaten to hurt you. Let's go to the next text. Good day, Aaron. And you finally agree that it's not a visitor but a migrant. Well, y'all really just looking for any... You're looking for anything. See, because here's the point I was making. When that boy stopped his car and looked at me, he didn't stop and cuss me. But when I had to blow the horn at the BTC van who was veering into my lane, almost going to hit me, when I had to do that every time this weekend, it was a Bahamian that cussed me, stink, for trying to avoid an accident. But really what was happening is there was shame. There's shame operating. Is a text, thanks, Aaron, because I thought the travel was OPM alone, but if it isn't, why they ain't clear it up? You see what I'm saying? Why the lack of transparency? If we've been talking about OPM travel for the last 4 years, why not make a clear distinction in the language and then show us what is OPM travel and what is general government travel? Because if everybody traveling on the OPM budget, that's the same as me saying everybody should have just moved to Fort Charlotte. Good morning, Miss Green. I can't believe that the PLP have our director of communications issuing. Oh, wait. Good morning, Ms. Green. I can't believe the PLP and Latrey Raming have the gall to have him, Mr. Raming, issue a statement as director of communication in the OPM this morning, while he has now started wearing his PLP uniform and is speaking on behalf of the PLP as their communication chief. Text goes on to say, sorry, I lied. I can't believe it. So this is why it's important to, this is what's important, right? We are in a small island developing state, and it's important to have mechanisms to manage conflicts of interest in a small island developing state because your human resource pool is limited, right? But we do ourselves a disservice. We do ourselves a disservice when we create the conflicts ourselves. I didn't think that a director of communications in the party should also be director of communications in the office of the prime minister. But if you want to create an environment of transparency, honesty, and accountability, if you want to create a culture of appreciation for that, then you must do the work of avoiding conflicts of interest. And when you cannot avoid a conflict of interest, you manage it by declaring it at every point in the conversation. Well, good morning, Ms. Green. What does our government do? Does it do anything for our interests? When we are not consulted, they do things for their own interests. Hello, why America like to tell black nations what to do, who left them in charge of the world, who made them the boss? You didn't hear Rubio Marco's Valentine's Day address to the Munich Security Conference? Hey, go check that out. It's on the U.S. government website. Here's a text. I wish the owners... Oh, the person saying they wish I had 2 hours. I'm not the best. No, man. You see that show Morning Blend with Dwight Strong? That off the chain. And Naughty and MJ, boy, MJ, really, MJ in the government. If she could keep Naughty in line, we could do anything. As a text, traffic infractions are not restricted to migrants. I doubt they're running red lights and driving on sidewalks. But if we have accounts of immigrants buying, obtaining passport and voters' cards, why would we believe they stop at purchasing driver's licenses? No, I'm not suggesting that that's not happening. I'm telling you, I can distinguish between a Bahamian driver and a migrant driver. Because a Bahamian driver is going to cuss at you and tell you that they have the right to do whatever they want on the road, whether it risks life or limb, whether it prevents you from proceeding in the normal course of business, whether it disrupts commerce. A Bahamian will cuss you and tell you they have the right to do it. That's the difference. That's all I'm telling you. I could make the distinction. Why can't you? That's all. Is governance without the consent of the governed still considered a form of slavery? Listen, to the text that I've missed, I'm sorry. I gotta end it here. If you do anything today, after you read Bahamas Constitution Article 48.1J, you're gonna go to Article 73.1A, and you're gonna answer that question. I'm going to answer that question right there. Listen, I got to go. I'm all out of time. Producer, thank you so very, very much. You guys, tomorrow we're going to talk more unfulfilled manifesto promises on the clock with Aaron Green. But stay tuned because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next. Oh, let me say something. Don't forget Lang, you know. Don't forget Lang. And don't forget Guardian today. They're bringing you all kinds of innovative voices. Y'all have a great day. Stay tuned. Somebody could be right back to entertain you.
So darling, save the last dance for me.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.